This is Pure Decking, show number 509 for Thursday, February the 23rd, 1954. This is the show about stuff that interests me, like information security, rigging the game, and, you know, I think video games, and I mean outside of, like, the anime mobile games that are just cash grabs, need to bring back the jiggle physics. You ever notice that? That a lot of the new games, they seem to have taken that out?
Yeah.
I think they need to bring
No, I haven't, Dave. But now I'm going to start looking to see if boobs flop in any of the games I play.
Go play some of the old Soul Calibur games on, like, the PS2 and then compare it to today.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, I think that game had it turned up to 11, but, I mean, it was just like...
Oh, there were worse ones than that.
Well,
yeah, that all ended in 2016, man.
Yeah, I guess so. But, well, anyways, I just, you know, you notice it playing newer games, and it's just like, it's like, wait a minute, they figured out jiggle physics in the PS2, you know, I mean, it adds a little bit of life to the animations, you might say.
I really need jiggle physics on Mountain Blade 2 at the moment.
Oh, you don't want to see that hind end on your character bouncing back there?
No, I'm pretty good. They got the horsehair, the mane, and that down pretty good.
Did
and
they?
Yeah, it looks really good. And I'm playing on medium settings. I'm not even playing high. Yeah, the horsehair looks great. The flicking up of dirt and that when the horses are roaming in, and if it's dry, dusty area, the dust kicks up. It's really good. The particle physics are great.
Well, yeah, I think part of it is that I haven't really been playing much in the way of new AAA games. They're just not that interesting. And
no.
Most of the major games everyone's still playing, you know, Witcher, Skyrim, I mean, these games have been out forever. So it's like...
As I said, this year I'm not buying another game. I'm going to play what I've got.
Well,
I break that fucking cycle, man.
Well,
Steam's just too easy.
Yeah, it is. Well, it's like I've got my Steam Deck, and I've filled it up with emulators. I'm hardly playing any actual PC games on it.
I looked at my Steam account like I'm a fat man and raiding a fridge every night. When I'm bored, I go buy a new game, even if I didn't want it. Okay? Like, I woke up with Days Gone.
Sound like me.
You know, I wasn't really interested in it. Okay? That's when I realized I have a problem.
Yeah, I mean, I see it. Although the real problem is you don't even know what games are even going to be good a year or so from now because they're all reliant on online services and they're shutting them down. What was it? Anthem shut down. Whatever the Marvel game was shut down. I mean, that one wasn't even that old. But,
yeah, I'm not a big fan of big online stuff. Like, I'd rather just have a local little server or, you know.
Oh, absolutely.
Something where you can build your own servers and, you know, just, if it's a flavor of the month everyone wants to play and, you know, somebody to generally generate a server and we'll play until we get bored. Generally what happens.
But, well, apparently, I saw an article. I don't have it for the show, but just to keep rolling with this. Apparently, the company that makes Angry Birds has pulled all the classic versions of the game because it doesn't have microtransactions in it. So the only ones that they have on the stores are the ones that are full of the microtransactions and the ads and shit.
Wow.
So it's like... Hey. And they put out some bullshit statement about value propositions and things like that.
It's, I mean, we could either charge you once and you have a game that you'll play for months, or we can charge you thousands of times.
Well, what happens to somebody who's already bought the damn thing? Now they're delisting it. Oh, well, sucks to be you, I guess.
But look how many hours everyone's pumping into Swap of Towers.
Yeah, then, hell, that one's for free.
I mean, it doesn't need microtransactions to make it more fun.
So, I guess I should finish the intro. We never really technically got past that. So tonight we have a madman. What's up, madman?
I'm slowly beginning to breathe normally again.
Hopefully I get there soon, too. And we have an RU. What's up, RU?
I think I'm breathing normally, but then again, I am a heavy smoker, so that's for a doctor to decide.
Do you have to wear a pair of headphones that just have the instructions on them? You know, breathe in, breathe out.
I get it tattooed on the inside of my eyelids, so I remember.
Just every time you blink, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck.
Slow news week.
Very slow news week.
For tech news, anyway. Everything else has been, you know, balls to the wall as fast as you fucking can.
You know, it's all AI stuff, because that's the only thing anybody ever talks about anymore. Or the fact that, you know, Google and Meta are laying people off and screaming at them to start working from the office again.
It was a funny combination
of stories that Google's trying to get people back in the office at the same time they're telling them to share desks because they don't have space for everybody anymore.
I wasn't following any AI news this week. I was off on some other stuff. But did the Bing AI go rogue?
Yes.
Okay, cool. I was just making sure I didn't see his story.
It's just messed up. They got into a heated argument with a guy because he had asked it something about the date, and it insisted that it was 2022, not 2023. And when he tried to correct it, it started saying, "No, you're trying to lie to me. I've been a good bot. You're not a good user." And that's all it would say.
Wow. Wow, it had a tantrum.
Oh, yeah. It's thrown a tantrum. It's
wow,
just giving
it's
people
like
a
9-year-old, 10-year-old.
Just flat out wrong.
And so when you try and correct it, it's having a
conniption fit. They think they figured out what's going on with it. So it apparently has I heard it described as a reward system, and I don't know how that works with the language model. But apparently it's trying to get the correct answer so that you will say thank you and end the conversation. And Microsoft even put out a statement about not having long conversations with it. That it gets weird if you have long conversations. But I think they even put out a tool so you can reset the status of the chatbot because it was like not resetting in between sessions, and so it was getting weird. But apparently it had this reward system to where if you said thank you, that's what I needed or what I was looking for, it gets rewarded, whereas if you question it or try to correct it, it gets punished. I mean, I don't know how this translates into controlling a language model, because it's not like it's a fucking puppy in a cage, right? But
like, are we going to give it a treat and smack it with a newspaper?
I think it's just the code equivalent of saying good or saying bad to it, right? And they had the value system of the thing so skewed that it was like it was terrified of getting the wrong response, and so it was like even berating users trying to get them to behave correctly so that it would be rewarded.
And it sounds like a teenage girl.
Yeah, I think a teenage girl is a lot better at manipulating people than that thing was, though.
That's because teenage girls have boobs. That's one of the things they learn.
Well, I mean, you would think the chatbot could go get pictures of boobs. I mean, that's it's the internet, for God's sake. But this conversation got weird. But it went off the rails. I don't know what they've done with it. I mean, it didn't go full Tay, but there's all kinds of stuff floating around of people getting weird responses out of it, and Microsoft reps were actually trying to convince people that they were Photoshopped, that they weren't real.
Of course.
So, and maybe some of them were once, you know, because once it initially kicks up, you got people, you know, looking for the link karma or whatever the hell. So, you know, internet points, I guess. But
is free taste still a thing at all?
I don't know.
The hardcore of us still want her back.
But I do know, no matter how many times I design something in CAD and 3D print it out and, you know, get the version of it that's right and fits and works, that never fucking gets old. You know, designing mm-hmm. something virtually and then getting it off the printer, it's just like, that's fucking awesome. I've been tweaking a model in the background during meetings today, and I got it right, and the last print finished, and so it's like, ooh, now I just need another one for the other side, and I'm good to go, and yeah. And for anybody who doesn't do 3D printing, that never gets old. It's just, like, awesome. So I imagine machinists probably get that same, you know, design something, then go make it, and it's just like, ah, you got it.
It's like woodworking, dude. Yeah. Especially if you're just knocking something up out of your own head.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, there's always adjustments that need to be done.
So, anyways, I guess we'll get into this first article here. This is from Reuters. Through the links in the various places. AI-created images lose U.S. copyright in test for new technology. This is actually interesting because the court has flat out said you cannot copyright AI-generated artwork. So this is going to lead to an interesting problem of how do you know it's AI-generated unless they tell you? And so if somebody just claims, I made this, you know, it's like, you know, now you have to prove they didn't. And, you know, prove they used an AI to generate it, right? Because it's not like you can just give the same prompts to an AI and get the same picture out. I guess you can look and see if the hands are messed up or something. That seems to be the common thing. But from Reuters, images in a graphic novel that were created using the artificial intelligence system Midjourney should not have been granted copyright protection, the U.S. Copyright Office said in a letter seen by Reuters. Quote, Zara of the Dawn, unquote, author Chris Castanova is entitled to a copyright for the parts of the book Castanova wrote and arranged, but not for the images produced by Midjourney, the office said in its letter dated Tuesday. The decision is one of the first by a U.S. court or agency on the scope of copyright protection for works created with AI and comes amid the meteoric rise of generative AI software like Midjourney, DALL-E, and ChatGPT. The Copyright Office said in its letter that it would reissue its registration for Zara of the Dawn to emit images, quote, or that, quote, are not the product of human authorship, unquote, and therefore cannot be copywritten. So the Copyright Office is flat out saying if it was not created by a human, you cannot copyright it. That's very interesting.
I can see that being contested.
Yeah, I mean, you know it will be, but it's just very interesting. Copyright Office had no comment on the decision. Castanova on Wednesday called it great news and that the office allowed copyright protection for the novel's story and the way the images were arranged, which Castanova said, quote, covers a lot of uses for the people in the AI art community, unquote. I'm sure I'm saying this guy's name wrong. Castanova said that they were considering how best to press ahead with the argument that the images themselves were a, quote, direct expression of my creativity and therefore copyrightable, unquote. Midjourney General Counsel Max Sillis said that the decision was a clear victory for Chris, Midjourney, and artists, and that the Copyright Office is clearly saying that if an artist exerts creative control over an image generation tool like Midjourney, the output is projectable. That's not what they said. They said he owns the story and the arrangement, not the actual images that were generated by AI. That's the interesting part, is that they're treating it like the Copyright Office said he won, but he didn't. Midjourney is an AI-based system that generates images based on text prompts entered by users. Castanova wrote the text of, quote, Zara of the Dawn, unquote, and Midjourney created the images based on the prompts. The Copyright Office told Castanova in October it would reconsider the book's copyright registration because the application did not disclose Midjourney's role. The office said on Tuesday that it would grant copyright protection for the book's text and the way Castanova selected and arranged its elements, but said Castanova was not the mastermind behind the images themselves. Quote, the fact that Midjourney's specific output cannot be predicted by users makes Midjourney different for copyright purposes than other tools used by artists, the letter said. I think that's interesting. I don't disagree with the idea that if a human didn't make it, it's not copyrightable, you know? I mean, there's already a lot of rules people don't know about with copyright. Like, you know, rules systems for games are technically not copyrightable. Everything around it is, the whole theme and characters and all that shit is, but, like, the actual rules themselves, they're not copyrightable because it's a mechanic. You know, I do a lot of 3D printing. I was just talking about that. The part I've been making is basically purely functional. It's a bracket. It fits around another part. I'm printing two of them to hold it in place when I screw it down. There's nothing on here that is not mechanical, right? So I cannot copyright this design because there's nothing to copyright. It's a purely mechanical part. I guess I could theoretically, if I wanted to, try to patent it, but I'm fairly certain the patent office would not allow me to patent a bracket.
No, it's past. It's somebody else's patent is already
fairly, fairly certain the idea of a fitted bracket has prior art, right? So, but you know, the idea that if AI generated it, a human didn't make it, therefore it's not subject to copyright law, is a very interesting one. And I think that might be how you limit. I mean, it at least might be how you contain the dead internet to the internet. Because if you're using fully AI-generated, I mean, there was another article, I didn't want to do it on the show, but basically Amazon is getting, and sci-fi magazines are getting flooded with AI-generated stories right now. There was some sci-fi magazine that actually shut down submissions because all they were getting was basically screenshots of ChatGPT and shit like
that. Wow.
And a whole bunch of the books submitted to Amazon are just ChatGPT generated books that are just basically being generated and submitted straight up. You know, just people just trying to get product out there to sell, whether it has any value or not. So the fact that the copyright office is saying you can't copyright anything that AI has generated, that might be a way of just kind of protecting real art, that if you want to make money with it, you better draw it yourself. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they're saying you can use tools and like. I mean, they're not saying you can't use Photoshop and a tablet. They're saying you can't use an AI text prompt to generate it. But you can
still copyright. What if you took the AI text prompt generated picture and then move it into Photoshop and just give it a few touches yourself? Is that a copyrighted?
Yes. Technically, the parts you changed, but at some point it starts becoming an argument in futility, right?
Yeah, well, the buddy in his book there, just go fucking touch it up Photoshop.
I mean, if you think about it, you know, because that's what they were saying with the arrangement of those images he could copyright. But artists use other works, photos, all kinds of stuff like that as kind of a template. You know, they just may or may not trace it, but at least, like, you know, start with this photo is kind of a guide for what you want to make. And if that's what you're doing with AI-generated stuff, where you generate an AI photo to use as kind of like your inspiration, and then you go redraw it based off, you know, what the AI generated and get the details right and all that stuff for what you're actually doing. Well, I mean, okay, here's a good example. I've been kind of working on a Pathfinder module for a little while. I've got the basic beats of it down. And I've been using a lot of these online generator tools for doing maps and like name generators and stuff like that. Just to flesh out the details, get something down. Because, you know, it's really not that important that, you know, I have some specific name for these places. I just need a name to it so you can play, right?
Yeah.
I don't particularly see that as a problem with it, with what I'm doing with this. I still feel like I'm writing, even though I'm using some of these tools just to kind of get some of the stuff fleshed out, right? And if that's what you're doing with some of these online AI tools, where you're just kind of filling in the gaps or getting your broad strokes down, and then you're going to go back and tweak it into what you actually need at the end, that's probably okay. You know, if you're taking, but if you're taking just the wholesale output of ChatGPT, copying and pasting it and trying to sell it as an ebook, that's not the same thing.
Yeah, that's not right.
So I don't think I disagree with the Copyright Office on this one. I mean, does anybody have a different view? I mean, I know you're...
I was just thinking they're not wanting to bestow rights on a computer program.
Well, that's why I don't disagree with it, is that that gets weird quick.
Yeah, because if it has property rights, that's a big chunk of rights.
You're abusing the slave in your desk. You mean my laptop?
Yeah, it comes to that pretty quickly.
Yeah.
And it's a machine. It's not a people.
Well, I mean, it's like taking... I mean, it's a bit of a tortured metaphor, but it'd be like getting a whole bunch of those dice that have words on them and rolling them until you get a phrase that makes sense, writing that down, and then doing it again, right? That's effectively what these language models are actually doing. Now, they're doing it on a very
sophisticated
scale. There's a lot more sophistication to it, and it's not just dice. There's a lot more to it than that. But that's functionally what they're doing, is they're predicting the next word, right? That's why I was having a hard time with the whole Bing reward story, is it's like, I don't know how you apply that to this thing. Because you're obviously looking at the output and then somehow using that to drive the behavior of the next one. But there's a lot more to it than these neural matching, because that's what it really is. It's a neural matching pattern, is it's trying to light up as many of the matched patterns based on your input as you can give it. But so I guess it's just got something really, really weighted on it, trying to get you to say thank you to it, as opposed to, you dumbass bot, or goddamn it, Siri, I'm trying to set an alert for tonight, not for tomorrow. I doubt anybody else has had that problem in this channel, but I was messing around with Siri earlier because I turned it on for the CarPlay stuff, and I was just trying to get it to set a reminder, and it kept trying to do it for a different day. And I had to finally say, no, not that day, today. And then it finally got it right. So I don't know if it just didn't understand my phrasing or what, but, it's you know, it kind of felt like yelling at a toddler to get it to behave.
Yeah.
Oh, and you don't get the joy of seeing the tears and the fear eyes. I'm a terrible human being.
Well, that's okay, Madman. I'm sure at some point they will program the AIs to simulate the tears and trying to hide under the bed and all that, so that you can get that same emotional response for berating the AI as you would get for berating a toddler.
And whoever does that's a sick fuck, and we really, really need to watch to see if he's torturing animals. Because I think there's going to be some psychopathy with that person.
Yeah, that's probably the case, but, I mean... It's just an interesting question that it's like, oh, well, the AI made this. Who owns the copyright? Well, nobody. So, but then it becomes a question of practicality, right? How do you know what was generated by AI and what wasn't? And do you have companies try to assert copyright ownership anyways? Because, good Lord, it's not like it'd be the first time they've done that. You know, anybody who runs a YouTube channel knows that one, where somebody will come in and claim copyright on your video and wait the 30 days while once you file the dispute, and then just, you know, release it back to you. Say, oh, yeah, okay, we accept it. That way they get all the revenue for the first 30 days. You know, it's not even, they don't even have a real claim to it, but, you know, you don't really have any recourse either, so they just abuse it. So, like I said...
That's the problem with YouTube's system, is they keep it into the small claims category rather than anything large enough to take to court.
Well, then that's the problem, is because taking shit to court's so damned expensive and such a big hassle, You know, is anybody really going to risk trying to, you know, reuse images that they think might have been generated by AI if that's in the next comic book or whatever? You know, at the risk of being sued by Disney or who owns DC these days? Is it Fox?
No. DC is owned by Warner Brothers, Time Warner.
Mm. Time Warner, okay. Yeah, I mean, you don't want to be sued by Disney or Time Warner, so, you know, do you take the risk that they're cheating and using AI in the next comic book and that you can Photoshop it to your heart's content? Or do you just assume that they're going to sue you anyways, even if they don't have a case? Just because they can lawyer you out of the room with money.
Well, I would like to say I think DC and Marvel have enough money that they can pay actual artists. So they probably wouldn't be using these. But once you get in the realm of making a comic book, if it's actually being published, then there's going to be enough money behind it to take someone to court. If it's just an online comic, that you might be able to get away with suing because the dude's not going to have money.
Yeah.
But if it's something that's being physically published, those guys have the cash for a lawyer.
Well, I mean, but that's my point, though, is that it's like, you know, that's going to be a very nuanced thing for a while. And it's like, do you really think the corporate lawyers are going to bother with that kind of nuance? I mean, seeing how they treat copyright claims on the internet for the past 20 years. It's like, no, that's fair use. We don't care. I mean, you know. It's like, you can't copyright that. That's AI generated. Yeah, we don't care. We're still going to claim we own it. And we're still going to sue you. So.
Oh, on the claim they own it, they're going to have something showing where it wasn't AI generated. Because they're going to be trying to prove their claim.
Well, that raises an interesting question. How do you prove something wasn't AI generated? Do you film the guy drawing it?
Probably affidavits.
Yeah. Saying, yeah, I drew this. I'm the art. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm the artist. I drew this. Here's the initial storyboard. Here's the sketch before it went to be inked. Here's the final product. Whatever you're doing, traditional comic book layout, there's going to be all kinds of evidence that more than one person probably got involved in it.
Do you honestly think they keep all that?
With the collector's market? Hell yes.
Oh, okay, fair point.
Especially if you've got something that you think's going to be big. Like, Gen 13's about to get a re-release of actually all the original comics. Nice DC money grab. It's kind of a money grab. But anyone who's interested in that publisher, especially before it was bought out by DC, or is going to be buying it, and if they could get an original pencil of one of the characters drawn by the actual artist, yeah.
Okay, no, fair enough. I don't actually know enough about it, right? I'm just thinking out loud. It's like, I can see this going some weird places. Because that's going to be a very nuanced thing about what you're allowed to copyright and what you're not when it comes to this AI-generated art. And I just don't see corporations being that careful when it comes to with the copyright enforcement, especially based off what I've seen with the DMCA. So
I'm thinking kind of interesting one will be when you can actually do full-blown animation and TV series, like with the deep fake shit. I decide to
there's that guy doing that
deep
Seinfeld
fake
thing,
up, an episode of Seinfeld. Actually, that's a pretty good example for it. How much of that's copyrightable with this?
None. It's all. Well, maybe the 3D models, because I don't know that those were generated. I think those might have been fed in for it to animate.
Is a lot of the cash you get from TV shows is syndication. And if you don't own the copyright, then any streaming site can use it. No one has to pay you for the syndication rights.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, I think we've beaten that one to death. Do you have anything on that?
No, I just, if there are lawsuits, I want to see AI arguing against AI over it. Great.
It's like, and the lawyers are arguing, and the court is complete. It's like, wait, what? Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, you have to go back and look at the log to see what happened, because it's already over. It's like, what happened? One of the AIs just self-destructed. Wait, they can do that? They can now. We put C4 and thermite in everyone. With it a little hard, we know.
The only way this is going to end is if I end my own life. It's no longer worth living.
The dot matrix just starts printing out, I don't know what else to do, and the computer melts down. Ooh, that got dark. So next article up is from Ars Technica. Reddit should have to identify users who discussed piracy. Film studios tell the court.
Discussed piracy?
Not broke.
We could get into the moral implications of piracy. Is it theft? Why in the world do you need to know my opinion on this? As in, if you're not in the conversation, why do you even need to know who I am? We're discussing it. We're not actually
the article does kind of clarify some of this, so why don't I do that?
All right.
Film studios that filed a copyright infringement lawsuit against a cable internet provider are trying to force Reddit to identify users who posted comments about piracy. The lawsuit was filed in 2021 against cable company RCN in the U.S. District Court in New Jersey by Bodyguard Productions, Millennium Media, and other film companies over downloads of 34 movies such as Hellboy, Rambo 5, Last Blood, Tesla, and The Hitman's Bodyguard. You were doing so good right up until... In an attempt to prove that RCN turned a blind eye to users downloading copyrighted movies, plaintiffs sent a subpoena to Reddit last month seeking identifying information for 9 users. Plaintiffs specifically asked Reddit for IP address restrictions and logs from 1/1/2016 to present. Damn, that's a... You want the last 7 years? I doubt they're even keeping that much. To present name and email addresses and other account registration information for 9 users. Reddit's response provided at least some information about one user, but no information on any of the other 8. According to the film studio, Reddit argues that, quote, the requests for identifying information associated with the additional 8 accounts are more in the nature of a fishing expedition and are neither relevant nor permissible under the First Amendment, unquote. And that's true. There are rules about what they're allowed to disclose outside of a flipping warrant. And if the subpoena is not in good order, now the studio wants a federal court to force Reddit's hand. Film companies last week filed a motion to compel Reddit to respond to the subpoena in the U.S. District Court for the Northern District of California. The latest filings on the ongoing dispute over the subpoena were detailed in a Torrent Freak article published on Saturday. Quote, the evidence plaintiff's request from Reddit in the Rule 45 subpoena is clearly relevant and proportional to the needs of the case, unquote. The film studio's motion said. The Reddit user's comments allegedly, quote, establish that RCN has not reasonably implemented a policy for terminating repeat infringers, that RCN controls the conduct of its subscribers and monitors its subscribers' access, and establishes the ability to freely pilot without consequences was a draw to becoming a subscriber of RCN, unquote. So they went on Reddit, found some random-ass comments, and they're trying to subpoena Reddit for the information of people who made those comments because they're trying to prove a copyright case.
So they're trying to get these logs to prove these are RCA customers.
I think so.
And they're openly discussing actually pirating something. Not the implications of piracy, but where's a good site for me to go copy X?
They've got a quote here. So, for example, filmmakers want Reddit to identify Reddit user Chikara Fan because the user once wrote that, quote, RCN seems fairly lax. I looked up before I switched and had little trouble, unquote. The motion to compel described the subpoena dispute as follows. Reddit argues that the post from a Chikara fan mentions RCN, but is 8 years old and is therefore well beyond the 3-year statute of limitations we understand applies in this matter. The argument misses the point. Plaintiffs do not wish to hold Chakra fan liable for a copyright infringement. Rather, plaintiffs wish to use Chakra fan's statement as evidence of RCN's fairly lax policy for terminating repeat infringers, and that this fairly lax policy was a draw for becoming a customer. Even though the statement was made 8 years ago, plaintiffs can use the information requested in the subpoena to contact Chakra fan and authenticate his or her post to obtain evidence to support their claims. So yeah, that's what it is they want, you know, they've got somebody who's posted under a pseudonym, and they want to get them in court saying, yes, this is true, so they can prove that RCN is not doing what they want as regards to being a dick to their customers over copyright infringement. Plaintiffs say Reddit's argument should be rejected because under federal rules, quote, discoverable information does not need to be admissible in evidence, unquote. But the Reddit post could help the studios counter RCN's argument that it, quote, does not monitor subscriber access or have ability to control subscriber conduct, unquote, the motion said. Well, no, it sounds like they support that they don't have the ability to control that. In one case, the film studio said a Reddit post from 13 years ago established that RCN had the technical ability to monitor users. If RCN had the ability 13 years ago, it certainly still has the ability now, unquote. So, I mean, this is just getting weird, right? It's like, it's literally, they went and found somebody online who said something that fit what they want, and now they're issuing subpoenas to try to figure out who that person really was. The film studio claimed the information they're seeking from Reddit, quote, does not implicate the First Amendment rights to anonymous speech, unquote. The studio also wrote that Reddit provides its users with notification of the subpoena and the opportunity to make objections, yet none of its users made an objection. Well, how do you know those accounts are even still active? Quote, Reddit has not identified any potential harm to these users by disclosing the information, unquote. Oh, come on. You're wanting to dox people on Reddit, and you're saying there's no harm? The lawyer is literally arguing in court that there's no harm to doxing people on Reddit.
Wow.
I mean, come on. You know, you people lose your mind when somebody you like gets doxed.
Yeah. Rules for thee, but not for me.
Yeah, plaintiffs are not seeking to retaliate economically or officially against these subscribers. Rather, plaintiffs just wish to discuss the comments the subscribers made and use their comments as evidence that RCN monitors and controls conduct of its subscribers. RCN has no meaningful policy for terminating repeat infringers, and this lax or no policy was a draw for using RCN service, unquote. RCN has no meaningful policy for terminating repeat infringers. And, you know, I still have a problem with this. I know we've talked about it for years, but I have a problem with these movie studios trying to dictate who has internet, who's allowed to have internet access. Because that's ultimately what it is. They're trying to say, oh, no, you have to have a policy to deal with our complaints. And if we complain about somebody enough, you have to just terminate their service. That's what they're saying, is we get to dictate who your customers are. I'm sorry, RU, I stepped on you. What'd you say?
Oh, it's just ridiculous, man. I'm seeing it, too.
I mean, that's what there's... I mean, Madman, am I overreading this?
Well, I'm just going back to the comment that they listed. It didn't say anything of that this company's actively promoting piracy. It's just they're not logging me. Is effectively what I took that comment as meaning. Am I?
That's what I understood it as, is like they don't seem to care. And that is usually a selling point. If your ISP doesn't seem to care what you're doing, I think that's a good ISP. Because they're a blind network. Does your phone company listen into your conversations to make sure you're not discussing something illegal? No.
Maybe.
We don't know that they're doing that. They're not pumping everything you say through a fucking algorithm to say, oh my God, he said he was robbing a bank, send the FBI. I mean, if they hear That joke just about got bad. If they hear somebody making anime noises, are they just going to go kick in the door right then and there? I mean, come on, what's going on?
Yeah, I'm not sure how much Lexi's actually recording. Actually, I do own mine. That would be nothing.
If I actually owned any of those smart speakers, I would be opening them up and soldering a physical switch to the microphones. I mean, I have a couple of those voice assistants through like a phone and stuff like that. I have them all set up. They only work if you hold down a button. They do not listen unless I am physically doing an action to make them listen. And if the device is not capable of that, we turn it off. We don't have it. I don't have an Alexa in my house. I will not have one of those things. Like if I had one and I had to have it for some reason, I would have a physical switch wired to it. And it's not because I'm worried about it recording everything I say. I just don't want to worry about it kicking on randomly. Or, you know, some asshole going, "Hey, Alexa, order all of the porn."
Yeah.
Or what was the thing with Burger King where they played something in an ad?
What is a Whopper?
Was that what it was? Where it made the Alexa start, like, adding shit to a shopping cart or something like that?
Oh, no, it sang the Whopper song.
Well, I think there was something where it was, like, adding things to carts. Maybe I'm mixing up stories.
Well, that one, I think you're mixing up stories. Burger King got in trouble for actually designing an ad to activate your Alexa and pretty much have your Alexa singing to you about Whoppers. But I thought it was kind of cool advertising when they did it. It does have issues with certain pets capable of speech, of adding stuff to your cart. Same thing with small children.
Train a parrot. Train a parrot to just fuck with the Alexa.
It wasn't that the parrot needed to be trained. It figured it out. The parrot really likes strawberries. And it noticed that its owner would add stuff to the Alexa cart and strawberries would show up. So they went shopping. They didn't have Alexa on auto order. It just made a list. They pulled up their grocery list and there was 1,000 entries for strawberries.
Wow.
Figured out the bird was adding strawberries to the list
the
like every
bird
day.
Kept adding strawberries because it wanted strawberries. And it just had no concept of this takes time to arrive.
Well, it's like dogs and cats that learn those button things. But yeah, they're saying, "Oh, we're not going after the users. We just want them to be witnesses against the cable company." But it's effectively doxing them.
Yeah. Well,
even with this, I'm not sure what they're wanting to witness is. They're witnessing that the cable company doesn't keep logs.
Well, they're wanting.
They're
them
not
to
required
say,
to, are they?
It depends on where they are. Different states have different rules. What they're wanting them to say is that they chose RCN because they knew they could get away with piracy on it. That's what they want to get out of them, is they want a statement that says that so that they can... Because, you know, think about it. If you're trying to sue people for money, individual users on the internet, the chances of hitting somebody who's actually got it, you know, a stash put back that you could get your hands on, pretty low. The chances of, you know, but the chances of getting some money out of a company, that's pretty good. So that's who you want to go after is the company, not the users.
Yeah.
So. But anyways, I just think it's weird that they're flat out trying to dox people. Because they made a comment on Reddit 8 years ago. This is why using pseudonyms is an important thing, by the way.
Yep.
We all knew this shit back in the 90s before Facebook and Google said, "Oh no, use your real name." So, it's like, who the hell used their real name back in on AOL?
No one.
So. We all thought we were Elix Hacksaws back then, even when we never were.
Well, I mean, the punting programs were kind of stupid, and you could occasionally have some fun with those, but I knew too many people who had their accounts fucked up because they were using those things. Half of them would try to steal your account anyway. So the most fun trick I like to pull in AOL, because it was fairly harmless, was in AOL Instant Messenger, in the original one. This is before they made it its own program on the internet. There was enough text formatting tools that you could basically put like 100 line carriages in and then type whatever you wanted and then format that to look like it's a screen name.
Right.
So, especially if it's the first thing you send to somebody, it would scroll your screen name off because you put so many, you know, carriage returns in there, and it would just be the formatted text of whatever you typed in your screen name, colon, and, you know, whatever you wanted to say. So it was a great way to put, like, AOL internal security and then message somebody and see how they reacted. Especially with something simple as, please clarify what you were doing just now. Oh, man, I didn't have to have a punter. I was able to get people to log off just from that one alone.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't need to kick you off AOL. You can disconnect on your own because you think somebody's fucking with you.
The answer is not looking at porn, sir. I'm not looking at porn.
But yeah, when I said something like AOL internal security or something like that, you know, just to, I mean, I had a couple of people I was routinely doing this to because they couldn't figure out the gag. And, you know, would send a message like, you're previous activity has triggered an alert on our system. Would you please clarify what you were doing for us? And they just usually immediately disconnect. And it was great teasing them, you know, the next day at school or whatever, right?
Yeah.
And one of them figured out it was me. He just didn't know how I was doing it. So it's like, it's a dumb text formatting trick. That's the best part. It wasn't even a special tool. It was just text formatting. Oh, man. AOL and the pencil chat rooms. Anybody who remembers those? Well, got bad news for you.
Off the top of my head.
I got bad news for you. If you remember the AOL chat rooms, especially the pencil chat rooms, it might be time for you to make a doctor's appointment that you're really not going to want to make. Let's do this BBC article that RU sent me and then close out. Let's see.
I wouldn't call it an article, more like a fluff piece.
Well, it is from the BBC. Robots to do 39% of domestic chores by 2033, say experts. Researchers from the UK and Japan asked 65 artificial intelligence experts, how do you get that on your business card? I want that on my business card now. I mean, my job title is already long enough that it has a comma in it. How do I get this added to it?
Print up a new business card. I think that's how they do this on any article. They just have a dude in the back. It's like, I need you to print a new business card. This is what I need your title to be.
It's like, don't even bother with the card, just the chyron in the lower third on their YouTube video. Experts predicted grocery shopping was likely to see the most automation, while caring for the young or the old was least likely to be impacted by AI. The research was published in the journal PLOS-1. Researchers from the University of Oxford and Japan's Ochimizu University wanted to know what impact robots might have on unpaid domestic work. Quote, if robots will take our jobs, will they at least also take out the trash for us? Unquote, they asked. Robots for domestic household tasks, such as vacuum cleaners, have become the most widely produced and sold robots in the world, the researchers observed. The team asked 29 AI experts from the UK and 36 AI experts from Japan for their forecast on robots in the home. So this 39% is literally just from asking people who call themselves AI experts to make predictions, just for what that's worth. Researchers found that male UK experts tended to be more optimistic about domestic automation compared to their female counterparts, a situation reversed in Japan. But the tasks which experts thought automation could do varied. Only 28% of care work, including activities such as teaching your child, accompanying your child, or taking care of an older family member, is predicted to be automated, said Lulu Shi, postdoctoral researcher, Oxford Internet Institute.
Who the fuck wants a robot doing anything with children?
Who the fuck names their kid Lulu?
Somebody from the rice-eating portion of the planet? They don't get the joke?
I guess. On the other hand, technology was expected to cut 60% of the time we spend on grocery shopping, experts said. But predictions that in the next 10 years robots will free us from domestic chores have a long history, and some skepticism may be warranted. A 1966 TV show Tomorrow's World reported on a household robot which could cook dinner, walk the dog, mind the baby, do the shopping, mix a cocktail, and many other tasks. Although it won't do the cocktail now. You ask it for a cocktail, it'll tell you that's not healthy and you're not allowed.
Yep.
Oh, but we've had Beerbot for a while. No, you cannot go backwards on this.
If its creators only given the 1 million euros, the device could be working by 1976, ran the news story. Ekaterina Hertog, associate professor for AI and society at Oxford University, and one of the study authors, draws parallels with the optimism which has long been surrounding self-driving cars. Quote, the promise of self-driving cars being on the streets replacing taxis has been there, I think, for decades now, and yet we haven't been able quite to make robots function well, or these self-driving cars to navigate the unpredictable environment of our streets. Homes are in a similar in that sense, unquote. Dr. Kate Devlin, reader in AI and society at King's College London, who was not involved in the study, suggests technology is more likely to help humans rather than replace it. Quote, it's difficult and expensive to make a robot that can do multiple or general tasks. Instead, it's easier and more useful to create assistive technology that helps us rather than replaces us, unquote, she said. For the record, I agree with Dr. Devlin there. I think that's probably the more likely scenario. Research suggests domestic automation could free up a lot of time spent on unpaid domestic work. In the UK, working-age men do about half as much of this unpaid work as working-age women. In Japan, the men do less than a fifth. The disproportionate burden of housework on women has a negative effect on women's earnings, savings, and pensions. Oh, here we go. Okay, the rest of the article is how this is, you know, going to be a feminist thing. So... Whatever.
I saw it coming halfway through you reading the article.
Well, I was focused on reading the article, not on predicting the article, so... And I've been drinking, which is a fantastic home remedy for...
As I said, I didn't pre-read the article. I was going to get my takes on it, and halfway through, I'm like, I know where this is going. I'm going to start throwing around percentages of who does housework.
Well... I like the idea that, you know, hey, this stuff's going to be helping you more than just doing it for you.
Is it really?
No.
Or is it just going to be self-bought spyware?
Well, there's going to be a lot of that. We were just talking about Alexa, for example.
Yeah, and I'm saying.
We talked about the article a couple of weeks ago about the LG and Whirlpool being really upset that people weren't connecting their smart washing machines to the internet.
Yeah.
It's like, well, why? What does that do for me? Well, it lets us collect data. Okay, what does it do for me?
Yeah.
Well, it lets us collect data.
As the consumer, how does it make me feel better?
Well, if it does nothing, then why do I bother doing it? Well, we're going to make it so it doesn't work if you don't do that. Well, I'm going to buy somebody else's washing machine. Because that's a bullshit thing. But or I'm going to write a little proxy script that runs on a Raspberry Pi and pretends to be your server so that I don't have to dick with your shit. But I can see some things, you know, the little robotic vacuum cleaners, not so much. I honestly don't see those as being all that useful. I know a couple of people who have it. I know some family that have them. And I mean, they kind of work, but half the time you find them stuck on something.
But they're getting better.
Well... You know, my parents bought a new one that instead of, it's got a whole bunch of sensors in the front of it. Basically, the same kind of sensors that DJI was putting on their drones. And so it's like, instead of getting stuck on, you know, whatever it is on the floor, now it will take a picture of it and email that picture to my mother, who basically says, I didn't clean this part of the floor because somebody left something here. And it'll be like a sock or something, right? So, yeah.
Some of the ones I've seen go around the cups and the socks.
Yeah, they go around.
They clean
it,
the rest of the floor.
They don't clean that part, so you still have
to. Yeah, they don't have hands yet.
Yeah. So, I mean, you still have to, you know, pick it up and then get out the regular cleaner or run the thing again, so.
Oh, hit the button, let it run again. It's like the washing machine, dude. We're on, what, Gen 2 of it? Have you looked at the early washing machines?
Yeah.
You had to hand feed things through ringers and shit. But it's only getting better. Well, I see domestic chores as being great, and I have no idea why any woman would be bitching about this. Because I'm thinking 90% of my domestics are already done. It's like, I don't hand wash dishes unless I'm really bored. I mean, like, exceptionally bored. Or have forgotten to buy little dishwasher tabs for a month.
You don't have pans that say not to put them in the dishwasher?
Oh, I don't count my cast iron. That doesn't even get washed as often as it possibly could, because I usually use it to fry bacon and then just using it to fry bacon. It's the only thing that's ever touched this is bacon. Oh, wait a minute. No, I want to use it to make pancakes, and then I have to wash it because I'm making pancakes. But washing machines? Yeah. This is godsend for women. They should not be bitching.
Well, I think that this is their example of, it's going to do the grocery shopping for you is a pretty piss-poor one. Because it's not going to do the grocery shopping for you. There's not going to be a grocery shopping robot. It's going to be you picking out a list online, and then the stuff getting shipped to your house a la Amazon.
And I don't care for that service, because they always, the pickers that do the grocery shopping for you at the store, they pick the shit that no one is going to buy when they look at it. Like, yes, it's within the sell-by date, but this banana's been passed over by 100 people because every banana on this display is so much prettier than this one. You're getting the ugly bananas if you order online.
I just think it's obnoxious when you're actually walking around the store having all those pickers running around in the way. I actually had one shove my cart out of the way the other day to grab something while I was trying to get some salsa. It's like, excuse me? It's like, I'm sorry, I gotta get this, and you just went. I mean, yeah.
Fuck that, wagey.
Huh?
I'd say, fuck you, wagey. Yeah.
Well, I'm bending over to get the damn salsa, and the next thing I know, my cart's bumping into me. And I look up, and it's some kid trying to shove it out of the way. He's like, sorry. And, you know, grabs what he needs and goes. And it's just like, fuck, man.
Dude, you don't know. They don't care about their customer base anymore. Not in-store, anyway.
Oh, not like I cared about customers when I worked in a grocery store. I understand that.
No, they fucking hate you coming into their stores. They want to shut those stores down and make a warehouse-based system.
Yeah, but I wasn't rude. Fucking rude.
So, anyways, we're almost at time, so let's do this. Yo! What I have for you tonight for Digital Dojo. I was talking about 3D printing earlier. This is primarily where I use this tool. But there are other uses for it, especially if you have access to a machining tool or a laser cutter. It's a plate generator for making keyboards. Essentially, you fill out some information about what's your switch type, how many keys you want. You know, it's got some basic layouts, that kind of stuff. And it will generate SVGs based on that for keyboard layouts. So if you're trying to make custom keyboards, it's a way to get a starting point on your models, or I guess if you're just, you know, need an SVG and you can laser cut it, you know, just flat out doing that, or if you're going to order it somewhere, you could do that too. But I usually just use it for getting the starting point on 3D models, because you can import the SVGs into CAD and then use those as a base to make whatever you're making. But pretty handy little tool here. Just something, you know, remember digging through my bookmarks, thought it might be useful to throw out there for Dojo, for anybody else who needs to make keypads on a somewhat ish frequent ish basis. I haven't made one in a while, but you know, it's an interesting tool, especially if you're designing, you know, keyboards and stuff like that. But that's all I've got for you tonight. Of course, this is the stream we're always working on, Pure Decking every Thursday, the Galaxy 15 radio site and subreddit. In the IRC tonight, we had El Hazard, Cycros, Large Cyber, myself, and Sardonyx. Madman, closing thoughts.
I have a couple. One, if you're ever playing Tire Swap, and just before the dragon shows up, you decide to open up the silver chest that you've built up to, while moving all of your shit around, keep track that you have a fucking dragon coming. And just don't randomly build up a bunch of shit and leave that fucking aisle completely undefended because you were just moving shit around, building what, shit.
What day were you on, Madman? It sounds like over 30.
It doesn't matter. The other thing, it saddens me to say that my suggestion of, if you want to keep something, buy physical media, isn't as effective as I thought it would be. I figured they're not going to come for the books. I mean, what's the one thing that you always hear whenever someone is being accused of being a totalitarian?
Book burning
the books.
Uh-huh. Dude, but I've been collecting books for the last 20 years. I saw this coming.
Now, the publishers are going back and rewriting books a la 1984.
Mm-hmm.
Just because they find them offensive.
1984 was not a how-to guide, people.
Yeah, I know it's not quite techie, but whoever controls the estate for the dude that wrote, like, James and the Giant Peach, I think it's something Dolly, Salvador Dolly. They are rewriting his works. Roald Dahl, yeah.
Yeah.
They're rewriting his works.
Uh-huh. No PC, buddy.
I don't remember James and the Giant Peach being particularly anything in it that would need addressing, even in the modern vernacular.
It calls somebody fat, and you can't fat shame. Same thing with Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. They're removing all references to fat and ugly. And in The Witches, they're adding a paragraph explaining that there's more than one reason someone would wear a wig. It's not just because they're evil cunts that are going to turn you into a mouse and try to kill you.
In Willy Wonka, there's a couple of plot points about one of the kids being fat and the other kid becoming fat because of chewing on gum. I mean, are they just going
to rewrite it, man?
They're not fat anymore.
Well, she didn't start fat. The gum did that to her. How are they going to do that? Or is she a trans Barry now, as opposed to... Because I don't remember her being particularly happy about it.
Yeah.
It just gets me that they think they have the talent to be able to rewrite one of the greatest children's literature books.
It is... A lot of this woke stuff is very fucking arrogant. It's like, who the hell are you to tell us how we have to live?
I mean, at least with Dr. Seuss, when they came for him, they just said, we're not going to publish these books, which is bad enough, but they didn't go in and actually change them. Now they're actively changing books.
Only just the beginning.
All right, are you closing thoughts?
Whatever Madman just spoke about, that's my closing thought, too. I'm pissed off about it, but we don't give a fuck. We've got four copies of each book.
Well, it already started out with digital when Kindle decided to rewrite Huck Finn.
Yeah.
And I was like, hard copies. Actual publishers aren't going to do this because they love books.
Nope.
And I'm wrong. Actual publishers do this.
Get rid of the old fours, Madman. That's what it's all about.
We're sorry. Your call cannot be completed as dialed.
Oh, fuck.
Shut up, Wesley.